This is Wick Moses, and I have Julie Ross Townsend, a.k.a. Julie Ross, who was station manager in various other capacities at KDNK back in the past, here on a phone interview. And Julie, how did you become interested in radio?
Well, Wick, I've always loved music and listened to the most hip alternative radio station I could find in whatever market I was in. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I graduated from the University of Iowa with a degree in broadcasting. And prior to deciding I wanted to go into communications, I was in vet school or pre-vet program. And I wandered in one day to the broadcasting building at the University of Iowa, and the people there were so cool. They were just really, they seemed a little hipper than the pre-vet people, you know. They just had a lot going on, and I decided that I wanted to take a broadcasting class. And so they had this intro to broadcasting, which had three parts. It was film, TV, and radio. And to be honest with you, radio was my least favorite part of that program. I didn't like it. I was, you know, you were in the studio all by yourself. It was kind of a solo thing. And I thought, you know, I'm really not into this. But when I came out to Colorado, I just kind of fell into the KDNK thing. So,
why did you come to Carbondale?
Actually, my dad's owned a condo in Snowmass Village for, I don't know, 30-some-odd years. He bought it back in the 70s when they were building it. And when I graduated from college, I was trying to decide what I wanted to do with myself. And I wasn't really having a lot of luck in the job market in Chicago. So my dad said, well, why don't you go to Snowmass and just be a ski bum for a year or two, and maybe that'll help you figure out what you want to do. So I actually went out and worked at the Timberline Condominiums as a front desk clerk my first season, and I skied a lot.
Well, now how did you find out about KDNK?
Well,
and just out of curiosity also, what year was this?
1986.
Okay.
It was the early part of 1986, and I was recovering from a ski accident, and prior to that I had been very, very, very busy and not had a lot of time to listen to the radio. And I found myself with almost a year off and was trying to figure out what I was going to do with myself. And I was just kind of playing around with the dials on the radio. And I came across KDNK. And what I really loved about KDNK was that the music was just amazing. At that time, KDNK did not have NPR programming, so everything was locally produced. And I was just so enamored with it. I probably listened to it, I don't know, I don't think we were on the air more than about 12 hours a day, maybe. So I think I listened to it all 12 hours. And I just thought KDNK was so cool. So there was a radio spot that was on the air. It was Steve Skinner. He was the manager at the time, and he was putting out a call for volunteers. And I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of at the point now where I can go out and do some things. It was springtime. And I thought, maybe I'll go down there and volunteer. So I did.
What were your first impressions?
You know, I think I fell in love the first time I saw KDNK. It was such a cool building. I mean, being up in the historic Dinko building, it was funky. I really liked the people. And at the time, Steve Skinner was outgoing as station manager, and Susie Strode was taking over as the interim manager. And she needed somebody to help her in the office. And so it just worked out so great because I walked right into a volunteer position as kind of the office manager for a few hours a day. I answered the phones. I typed PSAs. You know, I did stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. And one of the things that really that I loved a lot was at the time there weren't any places for me to be on the radio as a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started filling in because I was there a lot, and it was fun because I had a lot of interest in music in the past, and I seemed to be able to slip into almost any kind of genre of music.
So. Mm-hmm. And your job obviously changed over a period of time quite a bit.
It did, yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah, in fact, when I first started as a volunteer, there was no money to hire me. And then Susie Strode figured out a way to have a job training program pay me a nominal amount to come in and work in the office. And at some point, I graduated to music director, and I had a lot of fun with that, talked to a lot of different, you know, record company reps on the phone, and that was probably one of my favorite jobs at KDNK. Just got to listen to all the new music coming in, and it was very cool. And then after a time, I worked for several different station managers, Susie Stroh to begin with, and then Steve Rubick took over from Susie, and then Steve Skinner came back in, and I worked with him again, and then I think it was when Steve Skinner left that I applied for the station manager job, and I got it.
About what year was that?
I think it was 89, yeah, because I was manager for 5 years, so I think it was 89, and then in 94 was when I left.
When you look back over your tenure at the station, mm-hmm. what were some of the changes and things that happened while you were here?
You know, like I said before, when I first stumbled on KDNK, it was all local programming. There was no NPR news or information or, you know, any of the programs like Thistle and Shamrock and E-Town and the things that we broadcast over the years that I was there. When I worked with Steve Rubick, we wrote a grant to install the satellite equipment that ultimately allowed us to broadcast National Public Radio news and information and some of those fun programs that over the years we broadcast. Let's see, what else happened? The Corporation for Public Broadcasting decided they wanted to extend their funding to smaller rural stations. And so I actually got invited to go to Washington several times, be on a panel that talked to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting about why they should fund our station. And that was pretty interesting. And at some point, when we got that funding, I think we had to expand our staff. When I first started there, we had me and, you know, usually one or two staff people, or one and a half maybe. And as time went on, I think with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding, we had to have 3 full-time staff people. So, you know, we started adding more people, and I think that's probably the most thing I can think of that we changed. We kind of expanded our offices a couple of times, you know, moved out of the main studio across the hall. I know at some point you all moved over into the building that you're in now.
So, Julie, in your time there, what I'd like to find out what your favorite memories are, and, you know, perhaps maybe some of the weirdest and the best.
You know, I was thinking back on that, and, you know, I think some of my favorite memories were the fundraisers that we did. You know, I can still remember being with Misty Bowen and being the radio sluts from hell at the annual talent show.
Which one's Missy and which one's Julie? Which one's Missy and which one's Julie?
Yeah, exactly. Which one? We were wearing some pretty crazy outfits at the time, and I remember having to take a couple of shots of tequila before I could actually go up on stage. So, in the back, in the green room, in the back, and you know, some of the weirdest moments I recall waking up from the couch, and I had KDNK on, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I heard this. And I thought, uh-oh, and this was in the time when we had albums. And so, you know, I knew that it was the needle hitting the end of the album. And I had to take myself over to KDNK at midnight, and the door was locked. So I had to climb through the office window and come in the studio window. And here was our beloved DJ with his head down on the board, sound asleep, with a couple of beer cans next to him. You know, I have to tell you that I think that's when I banned alcohol from the KDNK studio. Got a little tired of coming in on Monday morning and having to empty out beer cans from the trash can.
Yeah, we've gone through several phases of that. And
yeah, you know, it kind of goes back and forth. And
yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Give them books, send them to college. What do they know?
Yeah.
What would you say your best moment?
Oh, my best moment.
Maybe your greatest achievement.
Oh, my greatest achievement? You know, I think, I really think that a couple of different things. Probably getting the grants that we got, getting grants to install new equipment, getting grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting so we could increase our budget and that kind of thing. Those felt like really good achievements to me, things that we could move forward on.
Mm-hmm.
And KDNK, you know, to this day is still my favorite radio station.
And you're living where?
I'm living in Talent, Oregon, which is very close to Ashland, Oregon. It's a lovely place. We actually have a public radio station here. And, you know, it's okay, but it's not KDNK.
Shucks. Well, thanks, Julie. Thank you so much for your time. I'm sure that we'll be in touch, and I hope you'll come visit.
Thanks,
soon.
Wick. You guys have a wonderful 25th birthday bash.
Thanks.